Well, all right, Father, we just thank you again, Lord, for this avenue that you've given us to fellowship with one another across this land and across the pond and all over, Lord. We just praise you for that. You know, Lord, we're grateful and we're thankful for the privilege of studying your precious word together here in this fellowship, to feed on this precious holy written word that you've given us. And we thank you again tonight for your great and mighty Holy Spirit that you've sent to indwell in us, to be our teacher and to be our guide. And you know, Lord, we just trust him today to live big in all of us, to think in our minds, to speak through our lips, to unveil this word of God that you've given us. And we'll praise you, Lord. And we'll just give you all the glory, because it ain't nothing that we can do, Father. We know that it's your Holy Spirit working in each one of us. And we're so grateful for the opportunity to be able to communicate with you and to be in you, Lord, and you in us, Lord, and abiding in us. And we thank you, Father, for all that you do in all of us, Lord. We praise you tonight, Lord, for the things that you're going to bring forth, that your Holy Spirit's going to bring forth in each one of us. And Lord, we just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, okay. Let's go ahead and take care of business first. Let's get the prayers done. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
In keeping kind of in the context of the last few weeks with what the Lord's been doing with me, I just wanted to pray for my crew that is working at night. Something I saw here today is that kind of a testimony. I went in this morning. I started going back to praying and blessing my project in the morning before I started, and then at night before I go to bed and go through and specifically hit, shall we say, the problem environments. And the Lord is, it's amazing to me that, I mean, I guess I shouldn't be amazed, but the complete attitude, I've just been praying for peace and a spirit of cooperation and a spirit of productivity, a spirit of positive thinking, positiveness, I guess you might say. And some of the, I went in this morning to the group, and shall we just say a couple individuals that are constantly looking at the negative all of the time, constantly just defeated all the time, defeat. We can't make it. We're not going to do it. There's too many obstacles, and every step they take, it's another obstacle. I went in this morning, and people were sitting around the meeting table laughing and joking, and just a whole spirit of that whole spirit of heaviness was just gone. And it's just like everything else in, the construction environment. It is a constant pressure cooker all the time, but it's a matter of simply, the lesson is with the Lord that if you pull back, you relax, you rest in the fact that the job is going to get done. We're going to make it. We're going to overcome. We're going to have the necessary resources we need to overcome the issues, the problems. and just rest in the ride. Ability to do that. And for some reason, I mean, I'm saying this, but it seems like when I try to apply that or do that in, say, in my spiritual life or overcoming obstacles and things that I feel like I'm trying to overcome in the kingdom, it's not quite as easy for whatever. Maybe the Lord has given me a demonstration or something. So what I want to do is pray again just to bless my my crew tonight to overcome everything, the obstacles, and just to function in a spirit of cooperativeness, peace. And matter of fact, I'll just pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the authority that you've given me. I thank you for the authority you've given us, Lord, to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And Lord, so I just rest in that fact that you've given us all the resources we need to overcome these obstacles in our life, but also the obstacles in others' lives. Lord, you've given us the ability to pronounce the blessing, to pull down the strongholds that offend and work against other people, people's lives, Lord. So tonight I just pray a blessing on my particular project, Lord, that you would just send your angels to minister a spirit of peace, a spirit of calmness, a spirit of cooperativeness between all of the trades, just a positive spirit of everybody trusting that together we can come up with the solutions to overcome any of the issues that we have there on our the project, and that we're going to all cooperate together, Lord, just produce, Lord, lead those in that are struggling into an area of forgiveness, Lord, that you can open up people's eyes to see that you are the only solution to the bitterness that is running rampant in this world, Lord, and that the only way to cut it off is to forgive, and to place that offensive behavior and offensive thought right in your hands and trust you to squelch it, to crush it, and trust you to mete out the proper justice for any particular offense, that you're the only one able to do that. And so, Lord, I just pray for my crew, a spirit of truth would prevail, a spirit of and a desire to cooperate with one another. Just bless my project tonight. One of the things that I saw today is that the constant tense, pressure cooker environment of constantly trying to overcome, get this job done, get it. It's like the devil wants to use that environment, and believe me, I think this environment is total countrywide now. This whole pressure cooker type of mentality that we are living in—it's constant, and the technologies even make it worse because I peel off 70 or 80 or 100 emails every day, and I don't even sit down on my computer. I don't have time to sit down at my computer and do daily logs or anything like that. It's just constant barrage of information all the time. And I think the devil uses this and thinks he's going to use it in our lives to try to beat us down and try to overcome us in this situation by keeping us so constantly focused on everything else except the Lord. And I refuse to do that because the Lord is in me. The Lord has the ability. I didn't choose, quite frankly, didn't choose this type of environment. I always said I would never live east of the Mississippi. That didn't pan out very well. And so I didn't, you know, I gave up one type of profession, so to speak, and the Lord opened this up through a process of events and dumped me here, so to speak. So I feel like I'm in the Lord's hands, and He has the ability for me to overcome in this environment right here, right where I'm at, and plant His seeds and perfect me in the image of Christ in this environment just as well as He can do any other environment. So I just praise the Lord. I thank you. Thank Him for what He's doing in my life. And I think that's it.
Okay. Pat, I want to pray something for you. Lord, I lift up Pat to you, and I thank you, Lord, that his team is going to be a guiding light for the rest of the company. And they're going to come to you and ask you, what is your secret to keeping these people happy, mm-hmm. keeping the log going, keeping the crews going, and keeping things on time? Matter of fact, Lord, I thank you that you're going to show him that he can get it done before it's even imagined that he could get it done. Now, I don't know how he works in that position, but Father, I ask and I pray that the powers that be in that company would ask him, and then he could glorify you and say, well, it's all God. Amen. It's all God. I'd pray for that. And then they would institute, just like Nebuchadnezzar, they would institute a company-wide a praying every morning Amen. Before they go to work. And Lord, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. But it's Amen. Going to be a light to everybody.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I receive that. Jesus.
We thank you for the wisdom, Lord, that you're giving all of those people in his team too, Lord, in Jesus' name, to overcome Amen. Every obstacle and for them to understand it's not them. It's God. It's them angels out there helping them out. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. I believe it. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
All right. Well, I like how that happened. You know, that's like the second or third time you've done that, Pat, and it's like almost like a prayer request I need too. So I was like, wow, amen. It's like you just like talked about my prayer request. Wow, thank you, Lord. But no, I have my job. You know, I got a praise report. You know, like I know you guys probably been praying for my job situation. You know, like I brought up a month ago or so. It's gone a lot better. I mean, I see the atmosphere on a daily basis change. You know, and God's been changing me. I have a lot of similarities where I work at with, you know, where you are, Pat. There's just, there's several people that it just seems like the enemy is using to sabotage any progress forward, you know, to better the company that are bitter and full of unforgiveness. You know, it's between the boss and just stuff that happened in the past, of course. You know, Pat, you would know better how to pray for, you know, my boss and I guess, you know, the GM, I mean, it's a very small company. So I guess it's, as far as I know, it's them two. And there's the district manager, I guess is his title. He has his office at our location as well. You know, we're a logistics warehouse, of course, you know, for those who forgot. But I sense, you know, I mean, yeah, things are slowly getting better. You know, I think there's a little more of an openness for people to kind of, you know, talk. You know, it seems like there's some unity there to an extent, but there's still those hard feelings, you know, towards one another. There's those few who are just still, you know, habitually negative, you know, just bitter, angry, full of unforgiveness. And the enemy uses that to just try to sabotage everything. You know, they're just like, everything's horrible, you know, those types. So, I mean, you know, I'd ask for prayer in that area, but basically a lot of what Pat prayed for, you know, and what you prayed for, Pat and Michael, that's kind of the situation ours, you know, that the enemy wouldn't just kind of, you know, sabotage the whole operation, but, you know, that it would just kind of smoothly flow throughout the day. And just, but then again, most of all, give my boss and whoever else in charge wisdom I have to wonder sometimes being at the bottom, you know, I'm like, what are they doing? I guess I've always been that, you know, in so many jobs, like, are they really making good decisions here? What are they doing? You know, so that's one prayer request I have. And I like David's message this past Sunday. That really spoke to me. That's something I've struggled with throughout the years, self-righteous attitude. And I like how he said that, you know, when you some have that attitude of like when you fast, you know, you're thinking, okay, God, I fasted, so it's time to bless me. What you got for me? You know, and I've always struggled with that kind of wrong attitude. Like, okay, you know, I do something so that God can bless me, you know. And then he ended the message talking about, just the factious. I remember he had a good message about that, how you can separate over the silliest little things. You know, that's something I guess I've always struggled with. But this, what I love about this group here is, we're strong in the understanding, and I see a great sense of, you know, a unity. So that's helped me to really deal with that, you know, because I mean, you know, I know it's wild and crazy. We all don't agree with one another, probably on, you know, everything, but it's like, I look at it and I say, I mean, that's helped me to realize, hey, you know, there's things that are just not important to divide over, you know, to be divisive and to, you know, or I mean, even to hold that other person and just like, you know, I mean, skepticism, like, oh, he doesn't agree with me, so I'm going to, you know, I'm not sure about him, or I have to wonder if he's as good as a believer. So I think that whole attitude, you know, I could use prayer in that area that God would just continue to work that out of me. Cause yeah, I mean, that's a struggle there for me at times. So, oh yeah.
Okay. Let's start out with number one.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for giving Joe faith, yes, to believe the enemy can't do any more, amen, than we allow him to do. Because you have told us in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, and I'm going to quote it here for you, Lord, so we can know it is written, devil. Hang on here. I'm sorry, I didn't have it already up, but I don't. But anyway, I should be able to quote it, but I don't want to get it right. Luke 10 and 19. Behold, here's what your word says, Lord. It says, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And amen, nothing shall in any wise hurt you. And Father, we thank you for that authority, amen, that you've given to us. Every one of us, you've given that to. And all we have to believe is when we pray, we believe what we pray is going to happen.
Yes.
And I thank you, Lord, for putting that in Joe and every one of us, Lord, amen, every one of us, that when he prays in the morning time for peace, tranquility, happiness, and joy, and wisdom in the workplace, Lord, it's going to happen. And for him just to look for the joy and not look for the curses. Yes. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're placing in Joe this great and bold faith.
Amen.
And I thank you, Lord, that he's starting to trust you, Lord, that you, when you do say something in your word, you mean it. You're going to back it up. Amen. And Father, we thank you that you're putting that in Joe and all of us to amen, believe, amen, that everything that we pray is going to happen.
Yes.
And we thank you for it, Father. And what was the other one, Joe?
David's message Sunday about the self-righteousness and everything, basically, he was talking about, that really, mm-hmm, that really spoke to me. You know, that's something I've struggled with, you know, for
a okay, long time. We command that self-righteousness to go out of Joe in the name of Jesus right now. And we thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit in Joe will teach him humbleness and meekness and mild, be just a dead man to the flesh.
Yes.
And Father, we just praise you for that in Jesus' name. That's amen, what you're teaching us all, Lord, is to be dead to the flesh, and to not let somebody who comes up jumping in our face about something, that we calm them down,
yes,
by calming ourselves down, yes, and speaking only as an oracle of God. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that all of us are taking on that attitude in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being us, being with us, and being the major part of our spiritual life, and that we're overcoming the flesh because of it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
All right. That's a done deal, Joe.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Anybody else? Denny, you're not unmuted. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, there it is. Yeah, Debbie and I would like prayer. We're going to be going back up to Illinois. There was a kind of a family urgency that came up. We're supposed to go up in October for a wedding, the first part of October, so that was in our plan. But just a few days ago, we got a call that our one daughter who has two children, a five-year-old and a eight-month-old, was being abusive towards one of her children, and someone took a video of it on their phone, called the police. Well, the police came and they looked at the video, and they end up arresting her, and then the kids went to one of my other daughters that live in the area. And so she's going to end up, she has the one, the eight-year-old, and the five-year-old boy, eight-month-old. Anyway, they're having a problem because DCFS, Family Services, is involved in the situation now. They can only leave the kids with family members, so it can't be a babysitter or friend of the family or anything like that. It has to be family member only until they get a chance to look at the whole case and review it and everything. And so we're the only ones in the family that are available with our time that could help out. And because everyone else is working, they all got jobs and they kind of shuffle the baby around for a couple of days, but they're all kind of, they don't know what to do because there's no one else available. And if we don't step in, then they would probably, DCFS would get involved, and then the child would be in the state's custody, and they're trying to avoid that if all possible. So, well, we've been praying about it for a couple of days now, and we just feel that we should go up and help out. So we're going to be going up probably tomorrow after the book study, and we're probably going to be gone for a month. We just hate to be gone that long. But anyway, we just really feel that we should help out here with the situation. But we want prayer for that and prayer for our daughter and the whole thing. She had a real turnabout in her life a while back when we went back up and we had to ask her forgiveness for some things for over the years. This was quite a few months ago, but. And she really she was always bitter towards us and real hateful towards Debbie especially. But after that, things changed, and she seemed like she was on a good course. But just recently, she's been smoking marijuana, I guess, and been kind of a little bit mean towards the kids. And then she's moved from one apartment to another, had no one to help her, all that stress. And then we just found out she's also pregnant again.
She lost her job.
So did she? She lost her job because she lost the babysitter. Yeah. So all these pressures coming on. But anyway, we want prayer for that time that we're going to be up there, and hopefully we wouldn't mind going up and coming back and then going back up again for the wedding. So it's a 12-hour drive, but we'd rather avoid that. But. The only way that could work out is if they back off with their restrictions as far as who the little baby can be with. So we want prayer for that. So I would just cry out to you for victory, especially our daughter, Lord Jesus, that I know she has a heavy load right now, but Lord, she knows who to call on, and we pray that you would just remind her, God, and quicken her to trust you, God. She just hasn't, she's been raised up in Christ, and so we just pray that you would stir this up in her, Father, in right now, in Jesus' name, and just help with all these details and all the struggles right now. We just pray that you would undertake our going up and coming back, and it would just end up being a blessing, Father. We just thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Lord, I lift, what's this daughter's name?
Victory.
Lord, we lift up Victory to you. And Lord, you know what's going on in her life. She's trying to, it looks to me like she's trying to do everything herself rather than relying on you, Lord.
Yeah,
and we just thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring her to a place and give her knowledge that she can't do it herself. She has to rely on you for everything. And when she just kicks back and rests in the knowledge that you're a great God and that you can do anything, you can help her in every instance of these things. And we command that spirit of wanting to smoke marijuana off of her right now in the name of Jesus. That the only thing she wants to smoke is the Holy Spirit, Lord, that she would just want to be infused in the God of the universe, Lord, and we thank you for this. We thank you, Lord, that she's going to turn in a mighty way, because we're believers. We're believers in this fellowship. We're hooking our faith together for victory, and we thank you, Lord, that you're going to do a mighty quick work in her in the name of Jesus. And Father, that she would get somewhere to where she wouldn't have to depend upon man, that she would depend upon you around like-minded believers. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for placing that in her heart that she can see. Give her wisdom in that area, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And
amen.
I believe it. And I thank you, Lord, for doing it for Victory. In Jesus' name. And just like her name implies, she is in the victory of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, my. Yep, we're going to see something there.
Yes, praise God. I thank God that she's shaking up her life, you know, and we have him to help us through all these, you know, this, but I just pray that he's, this shaking is really going to take her to her knees.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you. Let me pray for y'all now. Lord, I just thank you that Debbie and Denny are going to take you up there and show you in any and every circumstance that comes up that they're going to see nothing but Jesus coming out of them. And Father, we thank you that they're going to be able to calm situations down because they're not going to speak nothing but Jesus. And they're going to believe just like a believer is supposed to believe and trust you, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for sending these two Holy Spirit-filled people up in that area to show the light that you've given, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, give Debbie and Denny safe travel as they travel up to Illinois and back. Thank you, Lord. Bring them back safe.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Amen. Okay. Somebody else, I think it was Andrew, had your hand up a while ago.
Well, on Thursday, when Pat spoke about his workplace, I sort of was thinking about my workplace too. So on Friday morning, I said a little prayer, and this is just a little praise report. And there's this one person, he always seems to make up stories. Well, not make up stories, but tell everybody's story, what's going on here and what's going on. And he brings out all the stories. And, you know, I just don't really like listening to it, what he's got to say about everyone. And after I made my prayer and asked for blessing for the workplace, of course, I started my work and I went in to the place where he works, where his work area is, and to get something. And we started a bit of a conversation, and he was about to go into the story about someone, and then he just mid-sentence just stopped, and he says, I guess I'm not going to tell you about this. I don't want to tell you about this. And I went, wow, his prayer is quickly being answered, you know. And so it was a little thing, but I was going, man, he's maybe done that once before, but this is great, you know. And I'm just really practicing this. I kept it up. Tried to take a longer time every day, set aside a time for prayer for things, and it's really enjoyable. It's beginning to be very enjoyable for me now, and it's lasting longer. You know, like I thought it was going to be. I remember Willie saying that. Try and take 30 minutes, and I was going, 30 minutes, I don't know if I'll make it to 30 minutes. And then the first Thursday, actually, I started, and I looked at the clock, and then I looked away, and I started praying, and I went for almost an hour there, and I went, yeah, you know, when you jot some stuff down on a sheet of paper, and you ever so once look at the paper, and you have things there to remind you of things, just words and phrases about things that need to be prayed for, with your family, you know, your closer loved ones and people who you associate with. And I found that these five sheets and little bullet point note things actually helps. You just look at them, glance over. And I listened to something by Andrew Murray too on the power of prayer there. He's got some videos too on out on YouTube there, and there was one chapter that was particularly that I actually downloaded, and I took some of the words out of that to help me. He called it the art of prayer, and we don't know how we ought to pray as we ought, and he used some of Romans chapter 8 there, and It was really good. I'm looking forward to the next time. You know, it comes different times when I do this, but just to settle down in your chair and take that time to seek the Lord's face on even what to pray and how to pray, and always looking to him for answers and how you proceed. And the things, it's just great, you know. You get this tempter that always comes into your head and pops things in there that shouldn't be in there, and you know they're not supposed to be in there. It's just a relief just to hear from the Lord and have him pop the things in your head for once in a while now. And I liked it a lot. I was blessed by it. Just to participate in it was a blessing for me. And I encourage you all to take some time, and you can glance at the clock and then focus, and the time will pass away so quickly that, you know, forget about the dishes, you know, they can be done tomorrow, whatever. And so bless you.
That's easy to do. Forget about them dishes. Yeah, Lord, we got to pray. Just get away from this more dirty dishes. They'll be there in the morning. Yeah, you're right. You know, the time will go by as you pray. You know, first, like you said, I did the same thing. Kept looking at the clock. It ain't moving, Lord. But no, after a while, I did close to an hour myself. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And so I started doing it again. And I think as we go along, we're going to see an improved reaction on this fellowship. Matter of fact, I know we will. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Sue, go ahead.
I'd like everybody to agree in prayer with me that the enemy would get his hands off my body, because I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm healed, and all these symptoms of the sinus and the ears and the tiredness has to go in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We believe with you, Sue. In the name of Jesus, we command that spirit of infirmity off of her right now in the name of Jesus, and all the symptoms go with it. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that Sue is completely healed. She's going to have a good night's sleep tonight, and she won't have to have a box of Kleenex sitting right there beside her, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for complete healing, in Jesus' name. Amen. And we just put a hedge of protection around Judy, that she ain't going to get none of that either, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
That done deal.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Is that it? That's enough, ain't it? Praise God, you're here. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I'm praying for a family, the Barassa family. Over the weekend, this guy I have worked with over in the past and on and off and different shifts. Dan Barassa, he is 52. And he was at his wife's, daughter's, his daughter got married Saturday. And he's like me, he's a day shift guy. So he was up late, you know, and the reception and all that. And he did a little drinking, and he left the reception. And he had a terrible accident and was killed that night. So I'm praying for the Barassa family, because that's, you know, the wedding reception was for his daughter and their wedding day. So they have a funeral or the visitation thing this Friday. I probably won't make it because it's the middle of the day. So I just want to offer prayer for the Barassa families. The Lord, Father, give them peace. In this time, find strength in you to overcome this terrible tragedy of losing their father and wife. For Tracy to lose her husband, to come to our closest family in this time of need, Lord. There's not much we can say. It's a terrible loss, and I ask that your presence be there to help them out. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that this is going to be an opportunity for you, because you tell us in your word as believers, and we're going to believe with Dave that all things work together for the good to those who love him. And we're going to believe that the family will be pulled in to the gospel, the true gospel. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, yeah. I have something.
Okay, Malcolm, go ahead.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I attended the first event that's from the group that Torben kind of spearheaded anyway. The Last Reformation TLR. Anyway, a young couple that had been working with him for about 3 years were the speakers, and it was just incredibly beneficial. As most of you know, I don't really have a lot of fellowship locally here, or at all. I think this fellowship is about all I get. But anyway, it was wonderful to be there, but I just wanted to pray about, there were 15, 17, maybe more people baptized. Some of them had flown in from other areas or driven. But the folks that were representing, or that were from the Spokane area, were not a lot of people. So there's some that were there was one gentleman especially that I didn't get the contact information for. He's the Lord led him in all kinds of supernatural ways just to be met by some people from our group that were going out Saturday afternoon. I guess it was Friday afternoon. And one of the people at the meeting came up to him and said, the Lord told me 2 months ago that you needed to get baptized today. And everybody was trying to convince him, you need to get baptized. You can't just go on like this. And I don't know how, what kind of a walk he was having with the Lord before, but he was just, everything was happening so fast for him. And of course, you know, anybody who's looking at possibly getting baptized, it can be a huge struggle. Sometimes if, you know, the demons just start giving a lot of hassle. Anyway, he finally decided to get baptized. It was a long story because I talked to him afterwards. It was pretty cool to get to know him a little bit. But I'm just praying that these people that were baptized get some follow-up and get into a place where they can fellowship, get some discipleship going, you know, to help them. Because, of course, Satan does everything he can to try to keep you from bearing fruit. So I'd like to pray for him. And then there, a lot of people got demons kicked out, which is really awesome. It was just really neat to watch that. So if you don't mind, I'll just pray, especially for this guy and some of the other folks there that were baptized.
Okay, go ahead.
Sound good? Okay, Lord, I thank you for what you did this last weekend and all kinds of miracles that took place. I just thank you for all the people that made decisions to get baptized in water. And I just pray for this gentleman in Spokane that he will find fellowship and have good discipleship to help him learn to walk with you and to walk in the Spirit. And you'll protect him and keep him. And also, I'd like to pray for a lot of the other folks that were baptized there, that you'll just, that they all, I just pray, Lord, that they will be, that you'll take care of them. I know you will. I'm just praying about it. Thank you for doing all that. And and thank you for all the deliverance I got to see. So exciting. So excited, Lord. Thank you for your power and your glory and your kingdom. And I just pray that you get me thoroughly involved in all this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Malcolm, and we believe it's going to happen, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Okay.
By the way, let me pray for one other thing that happened there.
All right.
Lord, I just before the baptism, there's a couple. We were staying in a downtown area in Spokane. I mean, that's where the meetings were held. Spokane is notorious for getting your car stolen or messed up. So just before the baptism, they went out to get in their cars to head out to the baptism. And they were planning to take people with them, including the speakers. And lo and behold, their cars were missing. So to my knowledge, they haven't been put back together with their cars. One of the things that one of the speakers prayed for was that they would be reimbursed sevenfold. So anyway, I just want to pray for them. Lord, I just pray that you will give these folks, whether or not their cars have showed up, I don't know, but I pray that you will give them trust in you and faith and total peace, that you'll provide for them during this time when they're kind of stranded, and that you'll work all things out for the furthering of your kingdom, and maybe even the folks that did this to them, that you'll reach their hearts, Lord. And I pray that you'll take all bitterness or forgiveness or anything, or resentment out of this couple's heart, that they'll just be trusting you and Also, I pray the cars get returned somehow, or that you arrange something much better, just like we prayed. So thank you, Lord, that you were able to, that baptism was able to proceed even with this difficult situation. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, I just ask that you do a supernatural work here for these people so they'll understand your love for them, Lord, and you want them to expand in the scriptures a whole lot more. And Father, we thank you that Malcolm's going to be the avenue for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that every one of them's car is going to be returned in good shape, Lord, and that they're going to wonder what happened. And then Malcolm's going to say, well, it was God that did it. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to get the glory for this in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for sending your angels forth right now to return those things, to get the thieves to return them in Jesus' name. Ever how you want to do it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You know, we got to think outside the box now and believe that God can do that. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing it right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's a big God we serve. Yeah, George.
That's exactly what I was just saying. Big, big God. Big plans. Big anointing. Big power. If we could just let our imagination go and above all we could think or ask, he's willing, he's paid the way. A lot of people talking about their workplaces and their families, and if we would think of ourselves as the sanctifying influence that cannot lose, and we've got word to stand on, and God is backing us up, that all of our prayers are being answered, that our joy would be full. If we'll go ahead and have joy on the joy of being on the other side of the Red Sea, let's go ahead and grab that now before we even see the fruit, before we enter the promised land. Let's go ahead and be there. Let's mentally agree with God and see big things and ask for big things and expect big things, and always be obedient to test. Does God want to show himself large right now? You know, now faith is, and today is the day of salvation. Quick little praise report before I forget, that brother was mentioning Torben and those guys. If he went to the TLR website, they might have a map of new people that are connecting all of at themselves as a resource for kickstarts or whatever. So there may be some geographic connections coming up through those kickstarts so that people can fellowship and however that works out. But for instance, this guy at work, I prayed for him before and he got healed of carpal tunnel. God, you know, it was a wonderful little moment, but he came to me not long, about a week ago, and said that he had been under attack. He'd been feeling real terrible, couldn't hardly move, couldn't get out of bed, couldn't get going, and kind of just snuck up on me while I was breaking down a catering and wanted prayer. So I agreed with him in prayer and just matter-of-factly said, you know, we both know the truth and, you know, life is coming into your body, and went about our business. He came to me this morning and said that he went to the doctors, they couldn't find anything wrong, and that he's been feeling better. And, you know, that it brought me so much joy today to just forget that I had almost forget that I had prayed for somebody and was believing something good for him, but for him to come back and tell me that there's something going on, that we're giving God the glory and giving God the praise. And we both know that all I want to do is be obedient, and all he wants to do is be obedient. And it's almost like he's making God his covenant healer. He's going through the steps of getting the confirmation from the doctors, but he's really thankful. And I think it won't be long before we have all these testimonies of the power of God that overrides all these gods of Egypt, the financial gods, the medical gods, the educational gods, everything else that we put any faith in or hold in any high degree. God is a jealous God, and he is about to show himself. You know, the glory of God in his people is about to bring jealousy on the ones that are going to be our brothers and sisters. You know, it's just going to be a matter of finding out who responds the right way to the cross and the good news. So I'm resting, and I'm trying to let my imagination give myself over to God and take my place on the cross the way I need to. By no means am I saying I don't need to repent daily and by the hour, and we go through a lot of stuff, but anytime I show any maturity, I really do take it right back to this ministry and just understanding all the things I'm avoiding because I hear wisdom from elders. And it is no small thing that we have technology to share and get on this meeting together and to keep plugging in and keep filling up those vessels for during this abundant harvest time of the word and understanding, because when we need to go into a drought or whatever, 7 lean years, we'll have, we'll be able to feast and share with other people. So I'm very encouraged, and I'm not letting go of anything good. The Bible tells us to hold on to that which is good. And, I hate to even say the word I and me, but God's keeping us. And that's about all I got. We're going through some stuff, but it's all good. Even if the enemy's straightening us out one way, God's making it good on the other end.
Amen. He sure is. And you're so right in the fact that God puts these circumstances on us to show us, hey, look, I'm here. Here I am. All you have to do is trust me. That's what he's saying. Just trust me through these trials, because I put you through the trial. If I put you through the trial, I can get you out the trial. And that's God. And the Holy Spirit is doing that. He's leading it. I say that in the Word, that the Holy Spirit, the Lord calls him the Comforter. And he is. He's a comforter. He comforts us with prodding us into these trials. He prods us into, come on, Michael, get on in there. Let me show you what I can do for you. Let me show you what I can do. I know you can't do it. You've already tried to do it. Now let me show you what I can do. That's what he wants to do. And that's what he's doing, it looks like. Tonight's been a prime example of what God can do in the workplace and what he can do, what he's going to do with Denny and Debbie here shortly. If he hadn't already started, I'm sure he's already started doing that. And everybody else has prayed the prayer of faith. It's going to happen, y'all. It's going to happen. Thank you, George. Ooh, glory be to God. All right, anybody else?
Hey, Malcolm here.
Hey, Malcolm here.
I have to push a bunch of buttons to get on.
But okay.
Yes, that's why I said that. But I just wanted to say just a you know, I don't know who all is listening. Just a word of caution about the TLR map. It's, I think it's pretty cool. I've had some experience, and I talked with Rhino, who's main speaker of the weekend, who works closely with Torben. I've had an experience where I was in another state. I was trying to get, I needed some help. There was a girl I started talking to who was about, well, she was under, she was probably 14. And I needed, I wasn't really comfortable baptizing her without a woman involved or, you know, that kind of thing. So I contacted somebody on the map nearby there, talked to them for a while, and they gave me some folks that they're involved with, the names of these people. And I went, anyway, I just, it didn't work out to baptize this girl. I was, another thing I was concerned about was because of her age, parental permission. I didn't know, you know, who was, it's just kind of complicated. So, I talked to this lady, but I looked up all the names that she gave me, and every single one of them was involved in or had pretty strong connections to false revival stuff. And I thought, man, I'm not going to try to make that, you know, those two folks connect. It's just so. But they were on the map. There's some people in green. They're kind of far and few between, and then mostly everybody's gray. Gray means that they're not really recommended yet, but I mean, there's a contact person. The green person have, they've had three different positive reviews of people that have contact or had some contact with that person that has tried to contact them through that map. So, anyway.
Hey, Malcolm,
Yeah, go ahead.
Uh-huh. Can I ask a question here?
Yeah.
What and who are you talking about?
The TLR map, the Torben's map. There's the other gentleman just before me was just talking about that map. They have a web on their website, the Last Reformation website. They have a link to a map that.
Oh, you're talking about the Last Reformation? Okay.
Right.
Now I
right,
understand. Last, okay, I didn't understand what y'all were talking about.
So they have
about.
A. Yeah, it's a worldwide map and. And the way it works is people can put themselves on that map. They don't need any vetting or anything to do that. It's just a word of caution that the people in gray haven't been vetted at all. Nobody's said yay or nay or this is recommended or anything. At the meeting, I noticed a lot of folks that I looked at later that are in gray have been involved in false revival stuff, and it sounds like they're still. You know, I didn't want to judge them because I didn't have time to talk. Well, I don't want to judge them anyway, but I didn't have time to talk with them much. But one guy was, I was quite impressed with his walk with the Lord and his, what the Lord was doing through him, in ministering to somebody. And, but the connections he's talked about, you know, the church at Bethel, and some of the other false revival stuff. He's working currently in the healing rooms, I think, in the Portland area. So I just kind of raised some questions, but I said, but I kind of knew he was pretty true blue just from talking to him. And he said he'd come back from lunch or something and had been out to John G. Lake's grave to see it. I said, naughty me. I said, did you lay down on his grave, his tombstone, and soak in any of that?
You didn't ask him that, did you?
So, I did ask him that.
Okay, Malcolm.
Because so, I just had to, you know, see, you know, kind of verify things.
Oh, man, no.
He said, no way. He said, I had a friend that called me up, and he knows me really well, and he asked me that, you know, to try to pull my leg, and he said, no, I didn't soak on his grave. He was just trying to get his goat, you know. But then for me to ask him to, so, but anyway, I'm just saying that because, I mean, you just have to be careful, you know, when you're contacting people and you don't know, you know, if they haven't been vetted yet, then just have to be careful.
Yeah, you do. And I would like to reiterate what Malcolm's saying the last Reformation. They do a lot of good stuff, but there's some error in their teaching. So just be careful. We'd do that with anybody.
Yeah, you have to be. And in fact, I was kind of, I wasn't like super guarded, but I was just, you know, trying to be aware. I frankly didn't hear anything from these two speakers that was, it was the main thing I was impressed with was their attitude. Incredibly, I couldn't believe how humble they were, and very, very. It almost makes me cry listening to them talk. It was, you know, they just very, very humble people. I know the Lord Torben. You know, I've had a lot of discussions with him on email years ago. Now he's so popular, he's kind of hard to reach. But there are probably a lot of people listening to this recording that I don't want to be offending anybody. It's just that I can tell that Torben has softened. He's been through a lot. He's just been through the mill recently, or actually for quite a while. And incredibly difficult times the Lord's put him through. And I think the Lord knows how to deal with, you know, people that are willing to be humble, you know, willing to work with him. So I'm just looking for, you know, of course, all of us want all these ministries to be all on the same page, you know, and all working with each other, you know, and that kind of thing eventually. But, you know, in the meantime, we have to be careful, like Michael said.
Amen. That goes with anybody. You know, David even teaches that, look, don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it, you know. Check it out. Anytime you hear a teaching from anybody, you need to have the Bible in hand with you to find out if what they're saying is the truth.
Yeah.
That goes with anyone. And just because they're doing great signs and wonders out there doesn't mean that they're completely in truth with the Word of God. So just be careful. A lot of good ministry started out good, but went kind of haywire later on. And I'm not saying Corbin's doing that, but just be careful, like Malcolm said.
It's totally possible. I mean, even Paul says, he says, I have not yet arrived. Well, I'm paraphrasing big time.
Yep.
He says, I haven't, you know, achieved, you know, but if, you know, I press on that I might win the crown.
Amen. So that's what we're all doing.
Imagine. Yeah, and it's hard to imagine Paul saying that, you know, considering his writings and his.
That's why God put that little angel with him. You know what I'm talking about?
The bad one. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Keep him humble. Amen. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to just all be humble. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else?
I think I like how David put it recently, this last study on Sunday, about he mentioned when he was seeing the Father, that the Father said basically David is in the ministry because it's his son's ministry. And his son started it, and he allows others to come into the ministry. But that's for those that are humble enough to receive the ministry and not take it as their own, but it's Christ's ministry. It's always been his ministry. They're just allowed to come into the ministry and work with Jesus. And so that's how David is sees this whole ministry aspect. It's not his ministry. It's the Lord's ministry. He's just allowed to come in as long as he stays humble to that. And like anybody else that's truly called, they're going to be humble. It's not their ministry. It's the Lord's ministry. They're just allowed to work in it. I think that's the perspective you'll find from a true servant and somebody that's truly been brought into our God's ministry. It's not, they realize and they fully understand that it's by the grace of God that they're in it, not because of who they are, but it's what Jesus did on the cross. And it was always his ministry, and he's just continuing his ministry through them. But he could do that through anybody. But he, since he's using them, they are smart enough to know that, hey, this is him. This is not me. I'm just allowed to be in this process because he chose me to do it. So by keeping that attitude and knowing that any of us here to be used by God, it's his ministry that he's doing, he's fulfilling. We're just lucky enough to be used as a vessel, not to get a big head about it. So that's just a safety to be in that perspective.
Amen. Amen. You know, that's something that I found out about David early on was that he understands where the knowledge came from that he has. It's not his. It's God that gave it to him. And it didn't come from him. It came from Christ, you know, and he'll let you know it real quick that, you know, why would God take a pot-smoking biker guy and make a teacher of the Word of God out of him, you know? Well, because David was a willing vessel. He was a willing vessel. But God put the willing vessel part in him too. And David understands that. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat.
Got to find my button here. I was just thinking when I was listening to the message this morning as well, Sunday's message. And that kind of hit me as well. It's like was that a previous message, by the way, justification by faith or something?
Yeah, it was. We've had internet problems, and it was an older teaching.
Well, what, do you
it's
know
a
which,
good one.
Yeah, do you know which one it was?
No, which one? No, I don't. He doesn't consult with me about what he wants to put on there. He just told me.
He called it righteous by faith.
Okay. That's probably what it is. Yeah. That's probably the name of it, righteous by faith. And there is a chapter in one of the books called righteous, and it's probably in that salvation instant and progressive, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
Or it might be perfection through Christ. I don't know. One of them.
I've heard so many of them that it's hard to. I know that I can ring. It rings when I hear one that I've heard before it, but trying to go back and sort it out where it came from is a little difficult. But,
yep.
Anyway, I was thinking the part that I was thinking about today is and it was kind of what everybody was saying here, that justification by faith. I mean, I have to go back and re-listen to that because it kind of hit me. It's like one of those things when you hear it and you think, oh, you know, I understand that. And I can tell that I understand it about 60% of what I need to, and then of course, and I'm trying to think the process through and whatever, and it hasn't clicked yet. So I got to go back and listen to it. But the thing that hit me is that when David said he was saying he was given the example of when the Lord laid out the book or showed him a book or something or a page. It was sheets of paper that he laid out in front of him, and it was the monthly sum that he was basically going to receive. And he said, I want you to have this because my son died for you that you can have this. or something to that effect. And then he went through some other things, and 6 months later, or a time later, the Lord reiterated that point, David asked a question, and the Lord answered it with that very same word. I want you to have this because my son died for you. That type of thing. And then it clicked. David clicked on what the Lord meant, is that it wasn't something that he could do. It wasn't something of performance. It was strictly because Christ died for us. And that is our justification. Our justification is that Christ died for us. And I was thinking of that scripture when we read that. I thought of that point when we were reading the scripture before, Luke 10:19. Behold, I was going to go up to 18, and he's telling the disciples, he said, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. And I mean, just thinking of that, I had to be a vision or something, or, you know, whatever God was doing at that time or whatever. But then he says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. And then the next verse, he says, nevertheless, in this don't rejoice, but rejoice in this, that don't rejoice in that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And I mean, it's like we tend to think of, you know, the power. I've got power. I've got this little tool I can work with, and I can pray, and I can bless people, and this and that. You have, you know, and of course, all these things are fun and exciting, and new truth, and experiencing new benefits of the kingdom and benefits of walking in the Lord. But our place is provided there, and I get into the same thing. I get to where I'm, you know, worrying about if I'm not making the, you know, doing what I got to do, and not overcoming where I have to overcome, and I'm not, you know, standing up, and I'm not doing my thing right, or I'm not getting it right, or whatever, I get caught in that wheel of performance, and I have to fall back and realize that I'm here because of what God has done in my heart. He's changed something, translated something, something has changed, and I have been put in a different place, and not quite sure how, you know, to operate completely in that place. I've been stumbling around in it for 40 years or whatever, but it's just that focus that we are in. Do not rejoice in the toys that we have, but rejoice that our names are written in heaven. There's that other verse that I know that was thinking about when and these struggles that are coming into our life that we struggle with, sometimes I have to go back and think about the fact that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. Like, those works in Jesus were prepared way back the foundation of the earth, back in the days of creation. And that's when God wrote our name in the book back then. It stymies me as I have to stop and think about the fact that God has done something and awakened me to it and awakened us all. We're all in the same boat, so to speak. We've all come through the same process and end up here. And even here, meeting with a group of people there is 6 or 7 billion people in the world, and yet God has pulled people together in the Holy Spirit, in His family, and brought people together from all over the world. And it just stymies me as I think about the greatness of God and how He's able to do all this, and simply from a word, simply by putting a desire for His word in our heart, and to follow that word and to follow that truth, and that I don't know. I guess I'm just rambling, but I like to ramble. Praise the Lord.
No, you're doing some good rambling there, Pat. That's some good rambling. You're right. The Lord, He didn't do anything except what the Father told Him to do. And that's the key right there. We don't need to do anything other than what the Father tells us to do. He went to the cross because the Father told Him to, so that we could have the benefits of His death. And man, just like Pat was talking about, that's our eternal salvation in heaven with God and each other. As a matter of fact, we'll be up there, and I can invite y'all over for barbecue if I want to, or not. Praise God. All right. Anyone else?
Amen. You mind if I'd like to share something that happened when I was at this Quick Start meeting this weekend.
Okay.
There was a couple, older couple that had flown up from quite a distance. A lot of people had flown in from actually around the world, but so I was talking to the wife. She's from Japan. I had a hard time understanding her. We were in a lobby in this hotel, very, very large room. So things would kind of echo around. It was hard to, so I was really straining to try to understand what she was saying. And on the couch over, there were a bunch of kind of couches there in a kind of a rectangle. So there was a couple other folks that were involved in the meetings, and a couple couches over closer to where people would go by. And here came through the front doors, here came this big team. I don't know if they did football or soccer or what, but they're all dressed alike. You know, you see these people at the airport and different places. So all these guys come filing in, and so one guy came kind of close to the back of the couch on the other side of where I was, and I saw this kind of out of the corner of my eye. apparently I didn't see everything, but I noticed that he was praying for one of the guys, like their hip. But I was trying to concentrate listening to this lady, and I didn't want to be rude and look away or try to pull out my camera and photograph or take a video, you know. So I should have, but anyway, so I kept trying to focus on talking to this lady, and I was being distracted though by kind of seeing the stuff going on in the corner of my eye. And then another guy I saw out of the corner of my eye, this other guy came up, apparently wanted prayer, and Well, it was really interesting. It was this, the guy who had prayed for the first one, you know, motioned to this full deaf guy to pray for it, for this, you know, because that's the whole idea, is just to help other people to learn how to, you know, pray for people. So this guy only knew sign language. So I have never seen this in my life, and I thought, this is weird. So he prayed for this guy's leg using sign language, and he would point to the leg and touch the leg, and then he'd point up, and he had all this stuff, and it looked like it looked like some kind of a, I don't know how to describe it, but what the sign language is, his hands are going all over the place, and, you know, his mouth was shut, and I thought, this looks like hocus pocus to me. But, you know, that's not, I don't know anything about, sorry, you guys, if anybody's deaf out there that's listening to me, how would that work? Okay, so maybe I'm okay. So I heard later, I didn't hear what happened right then, but in the meeting, somebody spoke up and, you know, described what happened. Apparently, the first person that came by the couch, they stopped and said, you have any pain in your body anywhere? And he said, well, what do you mean? he let this guy pray for him, and then he was healed. So then a whole bunch of other guys started crowding around. They wanted to get prayed for. And I think five or six guys just got all healed right there. But it was so really touching, because we had like five or six deaf mutes there that were actually, that was one of the most impressive things to me, was the, you know, these people being baptized and you know, following the Lord and praying, if you can believe this, praying for a deaf mute to be speaking in tongues. So anyway, that kind of thing just really pumps me up. Anyway, I thought it was so cool that the Lord, you know, would use people to minister in whatever situation they're in. Of course, we all want to believe, and I'm sure they want to believe, that they will have their tongue back and be able to speak and all these things, hear all that.
Amen. That's what George was talking about earlier. Don't put God in a box. He can do anything. He can work through a deaf guy to make somebody deaf hear.
There's this one lady that, you know, they had somebody there for all the meetings that was translating with sign language. And it was actually pretty exciting to watch them, because they're so expressive with their face, and both of them that were doing it. It's just like, wow, I could, you know, can't go to sleep watching that. And but this one lady got up that said everything in sign language, but she was very, very animated. And she had a translator there who was relating what she was saying. But she'd been in a church, a Pentecostal church, and the pastor started saying that she had to come under his authority, complete authority. And, you know, she had, you know, and I mean, it was really, and the way she described it was just very compelling. And then she started grunting, and it was like, oh my goodness. It's hard to watch that and not cry. But anyway, the Lord had led her. Actually, she, what she said, it was the Lord told her after they left that church, because she refused to, you know, have this pastor guy, ostensibly he's a pastor, but you know what I mean. She refused to come under his authority in that way. And that, she said, that was not right. So she and her husband were really bummed. They left that church and were just bummed by themselves and lonely and all these things. And she said the Lord gave her a vision or something, about either a vision or a dream, but I think it was a vision of something about the last Reformation or something like that and said, you need to find these people. And so she and her husband start searching. They finally decide to search on YouTube, and they found, you know, Torben's YouTube site. And I guess that's why they came this weekend, because they were, anyway, it was just cool. They had a whole group of these folks there. I have to say, I was very impressed with them. They just were such ardent followers of the Lord, and just very cool.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Has anybody ever prayed for a deaf person and seen God open their ears up?
I was wondering.
I have. I prayed for a little girl, a 13-year-old girl, in church one time. You know, at the beginning of some of these Pentecostal churches, they want everybody to get up and shake hands with somebody you hadn't shook hands with before. It was in that period of time, and it wasn't her mother, it was her guardian or something, I don't know. It says, would you mind praying for her? I said, what's wrong? She says she can't hear out of her left ear. I said, okay. And all I said was, you know, in the name of Jesus, I command that ear to be opened up and she can hear normal. And I went up to her, and she couldn't hear. She even had a speech impediment because of her hearing, you know. You know how some deaf people do. And I backed up. I got close to her ear, and I whispered in it. I said, can you hear me? In a whisper. And she said, yes. So I backed up a little bit further. I said, can you hear me now? Out of that left ear. And she said, yes. And I backed up a little bit further. I got about 5 or 6 feet away from her, whispered. She said, yeah, I can hear you. I said, well, praise God, cause you're healed. And that's the only time I've ever prayed for somebody that I know of that had a deaf ear and got healed. She didn't have but one. The other one was healed. Okay, praise God. Anybody else pray for somebody that was deaf, completely deaf? We will. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. We're going to see eyes open. We're going to hear ears open. We're going to see limbs grown out. Glory to God. We're going to see some stuff, y'all. We're going to see God do his mighty miracles. And just like Pat was talking about, that's not what we're after. We're after Jesus. We're after eternal life. We're to bring heaven down here to earth is what we're supposed to be. That's our job, to bring heaven to earth through Christ. All right, anybody else? Hey, Willie, you got a testimony? I don't want to put you on the spot.
I want to hear some repentance, Willie.
Well, I tell you what, it was an interesting weekend here for me. You know, the Lord always tries to distract us, like we talked about last week, from our prayer time. And I'm telling you, I got hit from every angle. You know, every time I try to get in that prayer closet, you know, something else come up until I finally just said, okay, I got to turn this thing off and get in the prayer closet. That's more important than this, you know. So that's what we did. Just got to make it a priority to do that. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
I hate to be running my mouth, but one thing that hit me this morning was when I heard on the news, I think yesterday, that they said that Syria, Assad in Syria had said he was going to use gas on his people or whatever. And when I heard that, I thought, where is that coming from? I mean, where is that, like, somebody, it's like all of a sudden now, I mean, number one, would a national leader of a country, I mean, I don't doubt this or not doubt it, but it's like, would the leader of a country come out and make a proclamation or something that he's going to gas his people or gas, you know, the opposition, when it's a well-known fact in the world that against, you know, the UN treaties and everything else, that utilizing gas in warfare is obviously against the wars of rules of war. If you can, you know, I guess you have to have rules in war. But anyway, so I mean, it just seemed a little funny that all of a sudden, just like that, now we have a statement or something that Assad is now going to gas his people. It just seemed like a deep state type of thing or something. Maybe a setup or something there. So I don't know, but I felt really the need to pray for President Trump that he would have discernment and he would have strong, good counselors that could feed him truth. Again, it may be true. You know, some wacko leaders out there, but this just seemed to me to ring like something created for a purpose, you know. So I don't know if anybody else felt that or not, but I just thought I would throw that out.
Let's see what Dave says.
I thought I'd seen something on that also, but it was about the Russians and was saying with the side that their opposition group in Syria was actually preparing and filming ahead of time, like they had received a gas attack and they were making it up. They also present this like they've been attacked already again by Assad, and they make it look like there was a gas attack when actually there might not have been, but they were trying to mimic one, put on film and throw it out there. So the Russians were throwing that out there saying, this is what we're seeing happen. We're seeing this coming about where you got this opposition group against Assad and us, and they're filming this now, and they're making it look like it happened. I think they were putting that out there. They're saying they're making it look like they did gas, the Assad did gas people again. Now, you know, who knows what's going on over there? It's kind of crazy.
Well,
you know?
What does it mean has what you're talking about, Dave, on it? And what they're saying, what Russia is saying is that the deep state that Donald Trump has not gotten a hold of yet is planning this attack, and so that they could start a war with Syria and Russia and to, you know, get the focus off of them, because Trump fixing to lower the boom, looks like. And let's just pray for Trump. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we just lift up President Trump to you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you boldly give him faith to believe that what he's doing is the right thing. And and we shut the mouths of the deep state people that are around him in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for wisdom and discernment on the part of Donald Trump. Lord, give him supernatural discernment, Lord. And we know our prayers are being answered, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that he's going to bring down the deep state. He's going to drain the swamp. Not only that, the Red Sea is going to overcome them. In the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that that's what you're doing. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Yeah, the deep state is getting desperate. They know that their time is coming if they don't do something real quick, because Trump is fixing to turn loose the FISA court documents that shows what happened during this Russian. It's going to delegitimize Mueller. That it's going to delegitimize the DNC and Hillary and Obama and probably put them in jail. But anyway, that's God's business. And Lord, we thank you for doing that for your people. You told us early on, Lord, that you were going to give us 3.5 years of relatively good times in the U.S. for your people. that they wouldn't be on the Christian folks. We know that the second half, that we are going to have hard times. But, Lord, you told us that you's going to give us Trump for 3.5 years. We're holding you to it, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, that you're going to drain this swamp. You're going to put the people behind bars that need to be. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing that in Jesus' name. And, Father, we just thank you that South Africa's leader is coming down too in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that your angels out there right now bringing peace to that nation. Lord, whatever has to be done to take that man out of power and those people out of power, we ask that you do it, Lord, so that there can be peace in South Africa once again in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Can I ask you a question? What's in John chapter 18 and verse 6? We can read that. What did the soldiers experience? They tried to capture Jesus there, and he says then they went backwards and fell to the ground. What do they experience there, do you know? Or have a good idea?
Yes, John 18, what?
Verse 6.
I like that verse. What was your question again on that one?
What's your take on that? They went backwards. What did they experience?
They experienced the power of God. When he spoke to them, the power of God came on them, and they couldn't handle it. They went backward and fell to the ground. Then they got back up. He said, "What do you want?" He said, "I told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way." Well, he was showing them a little bit of the power of God, I guess, to tell them, say, "Hey, look, you let these other guys go, or we're going to see something else here in a minute."
They were in a Pentecostal meeting, and they got hit, and, but they didn't deserve it.
Yeah. Well, they knew when he spoke, the power of God spoke through him.
He said, "I am."
Yep, he sure did.
Isn't it amazing that you see verses like that and it says, and you think, wouldn't, if you were in that situation and you just, the force of the presence of whatever happened there and you hit the ground, wouldn't you stand up and say, "What in the heck was that?" Or something.
No.
But
what am I doing here? What am I doing?
Because they just brushed it off and kept on going, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It is mind blowing. And that's kind of the scary thing about it. Like, even praying for Trump and the deep state and everything, I'm not so sure that the Lord isn't bringing this thing through to correct. I mean, we have a major amount of our population that is like believing in socialism and this whole process, you know, which is totally anti, you know, American philosophy or whatever, or and that whole thing. But it just seems like logic has kind of taken the back seat here on a lot of our thinking. But like that verse there, it's same thing. It's like you would think that. And then remember in some of those verses when Jesus healed somebody on the Sabbath, and you would think that they would say, "Wow, Jesus healed somebody." But no, they immediately got together and started cohorting of how they're going to kill him or bring him up.
Well, I can tell you from being here for 7 years now, that's a factious spirit. that's, and it's a stupid spirit. It puts stupid all over people because they don't want to change. And you're seeing worldwide now, especially across the U.S., stupid on all of these left-wing Antifa, all of these kind of people. They can't carry on a decent conversation. They don't know why they're out there doing what they're doing. All they know is they got to do it. That's all they know. And that's a factious, divisive spirit. And that is, and I can tell you something else. That factious spirit jumps on them journalists, and them journalists act the same way. All the news that you see on the mainstream media, they've got that factious spirit. It's a dumb spirit. They make no sense of what they're doing. None. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, actually started a I have a lot of different files of different Bible verses and for different categories of things, and I actually came across one tonight. It just hit me, and it was 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It talks about the man of lawlessness, but also the Lord said this in verse 7. Paul wrote it, but it's the Lord. Second chapter, Thessalonians, Thessalonians, second chapter, verse 7. It says, the mystery of lawlessness. The mystery of lawlessness. That hit me. Because there's the mystery of Christ. There's the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. There's that whole side of us that's the mystery with God. But there's also this mystery of lawlessness out there too, which is a whole separation. So they've got that whole lawless, a whole satanic, that whole everything that is Satan is a mystery too on that side. Because of all, I mean, we just see here, Jesus says, I am. The guy falls over and falls back, but then they continue to come forward and it doesn't seem to enter in them for realization because they've got that mystery of lawlessness, that spirit on them that doesn't allow them to see the mystery of Christ, allow them to come into the kingdom. Maybe later they did, but they're just acting out and pushing forward, and that's what we see going on in this world. This mystery of lawlessness is just grabbing hold of them, people. We're thinking, this is so crazy. How is that? But to us, they look at us too, and they think, this guy's crazy. We got the mystery of Christ going on in us, and that's just as confusing to them as it is to us. So look and think they got that mystery of lawlessness. It's just my thoughts.
Well, you're exactly right. There's no sense in it. There's no common sense or logic in what they're doing at all. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, not only that, they all fell backwards, but then someone lost their ear there too.
Sure did.
You just healed this guy here. You know, why would you want to take this guy? You know, like, oh, yeah. Oh, and by the way, there's the mystery Babylon there. You can add to that mystery of lawlessness.
Well, also, remember when Jesus was crucified, it only tells about one person there, the guard that said, man, this guy's something else. You know, with the earthquakes and the veil splitting down and all of that, you had one guard out there said, this guy's something. He's somebody. You know? Yeah. It's really amazing to watch. The people in the world act just like the people that have fell into faction. God just takes every bit of common sense out of their brain. He takes everything that they knew before about the Word. We've had people that were filled with the Holy Spirit, understood the Word in a mighty way, and when they got into faction, went into Mormonism, went back to the law, you know, just stuff like that. It's just, I'm telling you, that's a spirit. And it is a terrible spirit too. If you listen, if you so much as listen to Factor, you don't have, they don't have to lay hands on you. All you have to do is listen to it, and it'll jump on you and take you out as well. That's how, that's how dangerous that, that spirit is. Yeah, Judy, did you have your hand up?
I did, Michael, actually.
Oh, no, okay.
Yeah, no, I would, I wanted to agree exactly with what you just said, you know, about Faction. You know, I've said several times, the Lord is, man, he had mercy on me. It kind of dawned on me, like, the last several weeks there, that, you know, you spoke of Antifa and all these little, you know, thugs. They're a bunch of little thugs and goons pretty much running around, and they're so unreasonable. And I, to be honest, if the Lord didn't have mercy on me, he didn't stop me dead in my tracks and, you know, humble me. He literally used that cult to humble me, you know, to bring me to my senses, because I wasn't even thinking straight. I don't know if you've run into these folks out here. They, you know, understanding who the whore of Babylon is in Revelation. Well, they say it's the Catholic Church. I used to run with that crowd, you know, before God brought me into the truth. But I, you know, I mean, like I was saying, I mean, if the Lord didn't have mercy on me, I would have been a member of Antifa. I was kind of thinking along the lines that they were, you know, understanding. I mean, just being so beyond unreasonable. I mean, you couldn't tell me anything. You know, I used to listen, I mean, any random politician who was talking to the Pope or anybody, just like Trump, you know, that was one of the first major individuals that he went to speak with. And you know, most people, you know, in this group would think, oh, he's one of them. He's one of them. Look, he's talking with the Pope here. And it's like, what are you talking about? You know, so I used to run with those kind of people. And yeah, like you said, they just reason and everything goes right out the door. You can't talk to them. You can't reason with them. You know, when they're under Faction, you know, that spirit jumps on them. And you, like you said, they don't, nobody has to touch you, and nobody touched me. I listened to just very factious people. And I'm sure there's also other things that would lead to that. You know, rejection's a big one, as David has always said. You know, he said he couldn't talk to like Paul Reimel at times. He said he couldn't talk to him because he just was so, you know, he was dealing with that spirit of rejection. So I can second, I mean, basically agree with everything you said. And so praise the Lord, he had mercy on me. You know, he's got a plan to use me in the days ahead. You know, I mean, I got to keep, you know, being obedient, just keep trusting him. But thank God that I'm not running around with those little goons out there getting in trouble. And, you know, because, oh, their destruction's coming very soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a nasty spirit.
Yes, it is.
One of the nastiest ones I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Anybody else? You know, to keep out of Faction, the only thing you have to do is keep your eyes on Jesus. That's all. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Do what the Word says. Well, all right. Anybody else? What in the world was that? That Pete, was that you?
Yeah. Sorry, that was my phone. No, I was going to say something about that. Yeah.
Go ahead, but, yeah, bro.
As I understand, the whore of Babylon is apostate religion, right? Is that what you guys?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well. I don't know. We do a lot of deliverance, and one thing the Lord really brought that to my attention recently, brought that to my attention in deliverance, and this spirit, Semiramis, you know, we've come up against that a lot recently. Oh, I'm going to give up. We've come up against that a lot, and with Tammuz, you know, and that Tammuz spirit is, as you know, another Jesus, and what's that spirit's doing is it's in a lot of Christians, and that's what we're coming up against a lot, and obviously this is all part of the great falling away, isn't it? So they're receiving this spirit of Tammuz, which is the whore of Babylon, you know, sitting over this apostate religion, which unfortunately, a lot of Christians today don't even have an understanding of the correct gospel. And they're inviting this spirit, so they're being devoured, you know, like by the beast, aren't they? The beast kingdom is devouring them, and you know, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. So what actually happens is they don't have eyes to see anymore the truth concerning the word, you know, and they have a form of godliness but deny the power, and they're always learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what this spirit does, is it blinds people to the truth. So they become very religious, unfortunately, but they don't operate in the true gift, and they don't demonstrate the true fruit of the spirit, you know. And one thing I've found, I mean, I just got a big attack on me personally by a Christian, you know, that's in the, you know, only, he's only been a Christian a few years, but he's sort of like gets above his calling, you know, and he's sort of accusing me of stuff I'm not even guilty of doing. And I just, it just grieves me, you know, this division. And I've come across it so much, and it's you know, factious, you know, it's so factious. And, you know, the Jezebel spirit is, and the Semiramis, which is this, the whore of Babylon, which is above that whole, which Jezebel is only a type and shadow of, you know, Jezebel and Ahab. And that's what God really showed me, was how the Jezebel and Ahab are a type and shadow of the end times, you know, what we're going through now with Ahab, you know, being representative of the beast, you know, and the apostasy and that's going on today. But it really grieves me, the division, you know. And, you know, this guy was criticizing me for stuff, and I'm going, well, hang, he's saying to me, it triggers him. You know, what you're doing, it triggers me. And I'm going, well, what am I doing? And the two things he gave me, I pointed out to him, they were nothing. They were nothing at all. It was, I wasn't guilty of them at all. It was a false accusation. And I said, well, if you're being triggered, then what does that mean? It means that you don't have the shield of faith working through love, you know, because we're all called to walk in love. If we're being triggered by other people and they're not doing anything seriously wrong, they're just trivial minor things that really aren't, and, you know, they're really false accusation. What does that say to you? What does that mean to you? It means that obviously they're not examining themselves and not walking in true love, are they? Because we've got to all come to our cross, and we've got to die to self, you know. So if we're not dying to self, then this, we don't have that proper armor on, you know, the real protection, which is the armor of light, isn't it? And that armor is you know, the mercy that we receive, you know, from Christ. We've got to give that same mercy and that same love to our, especially, I mean, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we've got to be an example, don't we? And avoid.
Well, here's the deal, Pete. Yeah. We're kind of running out of town here. Yeah. Anybody that has aught against anybody, the word specifically tells you what to do in Matthew 18 and 15. And if thy brother sin against thee, go show him his fault between thee and him alone. If he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he hear thee not, take with thee one or two more. And that's the problem. People want to go out and tell the world before they go to the person to find out, to let him know that, hey, look, I've got this against you. You know, you're doing this and you're doing that against the word of God. And then if there's a witness to it, if there's two witnesses, you know, that this is, we have a roadmap to use. And if they don't use it, then they're obviously in faction. And if that's what you're talking about, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's right. It's faction. And it actually, the Lord told me, it's the spirit of Saul. And if you know what that spirit is about, that attacks God's anointed, you know. And I said to him, look, please tell me if I'm doing something wrong, seriously wrong, show me. And everything he pointed to me was had just come from gossip. And it was false accusation. And it's a Saul spirit. You know, I've come across that so many times. I mean, God even let me interrogate it once. Because, you know, I heard David's teaching on Saul. And, you know, everything that David preached about concerning, you know, the Saul spirit and that identity, yeah, the Lord brought it up in deliverance and showed me that's one of the enemy's best devices of attacking leadership, you know, because it attacks God's anointed and accusing. And what did Saul do? He threw the javelin at David, and that's what they do. It's not them, it's a spirit, you know, behind them. And that's what we've got to understand. It's not them, it's just a demon.
And, amen.
It's a religious spirit, isn't it? I mean, these religious spirits love scripture, but they're all out of context, and they're not led by the Holy Spirit, obviously. So, yeah, so they come across with a form of godliness, but unable to always come to the knowledge of the truth because the fruit's not there, you know. So, yeah, it's a bit of a lesson for me. But, yeah, like you say, Michael, I'm going to deal with him. I'm going to tell him he needs to practice what he preaches and show the love, because he preaches a lot of love, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, well, where is it? You know, let's see it.
Yeah. Amen. Well, mm-hmm. All right, Pete. We appreciate it, buddy. Come back anytime. We're out of time.
All right.
We close out at 10 o'clock. But I don't mind running over a little bit here and there. Has anybody got any prayer requests before we leave tonight? And look, let's just keep on doing the same thing. Let's just keep on praying and about what God wants us to talk about, even Thursday night. I thought tonight was excellent myself. I enjoyed it, and it was good for all of us, I believe. I'd like to hear from more people, though, Willie. I'm just saying, you know. Willie looking around. Okay, brother. But, Lord, we just thank you for a wonderful night. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit again that leads and guides us and teaches us out of your word, Father. And we just praise you, Lord, that we ask, Lord, that you continue placing in our hearts to pray for these conference calls and to pray for the people around us, Lord, and to intercede for your chosen people, Lord, across this world, and to pray for our leaders in this nation and around the world. And we thank you, Father, that we're seeing results from our prayers. Even internationally, we're seeing results because we're people who believe what your word says, and we trust you, Lord, to carry it out. Because we are your hands and your feet in the kingdom, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for working in all of us. We thank you, Lord, for maturing us, keeping us on that road, and giving us a good night's sleep tonight, Lord. Waking up supernaturally supercharged in the morning to go for it again, Lord. But just always keep it in our heart to get in that secret place and get with you, Lord. Every day, in Jesus' name, amen. Good night, y'all. God bless you.
Night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.
See everybody Thursday.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good
night, everybody. Thank you, Peter.
Good night, Pat.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, brother Pat. Good night.